Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Jake Gutierrez, and Stan Weber joins us. Stan, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Playoff football, ready to roll.
We are ready to roll, and let's get into it. Deontay Johnson, Steelers wide receiver, had a couple of comments yesterday to the Pittsburgh media. Let's hear what Deontay Johnson had to say.
Big underdog?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like I said, people expecting us to go out there and have another, tough loss like that. So that's what they're expecting. They don't expect us to come back with a better plan, you know. So I like being in this situation because once we win, don't try to hop back on the bandwagon, you know. Remember all that stuff you're saying now. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
He said, once we win, you don't want people hopping back on the bandwagon. Remember what you said, and I'm going to leave it at that. Can you crank the volume up on that and give it more juice? Because he was kind of talking there about, you know, people expecting us to go out there with another tough loss and not have a better game plan. And then he starts to, I don't know, build his confidence there a little bit towards the end of that statement and says, once we win, he doesn't want people jumping back on the bandwagon. Play that again.
Underdog?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like I said, people expecting us to go out there and have another tough loss like that. So that's what they're expecting. They don't expect us to come back with a better plan, you know. So I like being in this situation because once we win, don't try to hop back on the bandwagon, you know. Remember all that stuff you're saying now. So I'm just gonna leave it at that.
He likes being in the situation. Once we win, don't be trying to hop back on the bandwagon. And he's going to remember all that stuff that people were saying. He's going to leave it at that, Stan.
I thought the most important thing that he said, because it sounded like to me he's talking to the Pittsburgh media. And
right. They asked him about, what about being an underdog?
He's not thinking about it being played on the Border Patrol. Well, but I thought the biggest words that he said is, you expect us to make no adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
That's the headline right there. That they believe they're going to do things differently when they come here the next time. And if you want to make this game competitive in any fashion at all, it starts with, these are the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, and then, you know, maybe Ben Roethlisberger, if he can play like he did in the second half. What was it, the fourth quarter of the Minnesota game?
Yeah.
Where he went off and looked like...
Yeah.
He's thrown for 500 yards in a game in his career, right? Not many guys have. Ben looked like that in the fourth quarter of the Minnesota game. After playing the worst first half of football, even the Detroit Lions would have beat Pittsburgh by 10 or 20 at that point. Then they came back and played great and almost won that game. So I don't know about Ben, but I know the Pittsburgh organization, Mike Tomlin, there's some pride there. So they may play at a different level, but I thought that was very interesting what he just said. We're going to make adjustments.
And so here's something else, an article from Steelers Depot. You ever?
Oh, that's one of my favorite depots.
I didn't. You didn't tell me that. They mentioned the last time the two teams squared off, Kansas City was able to do whatever it wanted to do against the Steelers offensively and defensively, to the tune of a 36-10 win. But Mike Tomlin, while speaking to reporters this week, stated that the Steelers know they were outplayed and outclassed on December 26th. And he went on to say, we have big-time challenges ahead in terms of preparing for Kansas City. They handled us definitively, and so we understand that, but at the same time, we're not paralyzed by that. And he went on to talk about, we're excited about the process of readiness this time, putting together a better plan, putting our guys in position to make more consistent plays, particularly in weighty moments, situational ball. And so he kind of alluded to, he says, I'll say this, the changes are subtle for those that aren't in our business. The changes are significant for those that are. Not only changes that we make, but changes that they make. When you're watching the game at home through the lens of a television camera, it may not be significant. But the things you do in these matchups, the alterations you make in terms of concepts that you employ, whether it's offensive concepts or defensive concepts, are very significant. And particularly in situational football, possession downs, red zone, 2 minutes, etc. And so he was explaining to the Steelers media that there's going to be concept changes that people that understand the game will see, but maybe won't be obvious to the casual fan. So like what you're talking about, they're not going to come in here and do the same thing they did 3 weeks ago. I guess what? Neither are the Chiefs.
Right. I mean, if it were a three-point game, he'd be exactly right. The intensity of the coaching could be extreme, but the subtleties would be over our head as we're watching the game. But this one,
everything's over my head, Sam, when I'm watching the game. I'm like, ugh!
But it was 36-10. You don't see many NFL games. And we're coming off a record-breaking year of the most games in NFL history being won on the last play of the game.
Wow.
Including the last game of the regular season, as you know, in overtime with all the drama of the Chargers and Raiders. But this year has been about that. It's the wins at the end of the game, the closeness of the games, the parity in the National Football League. The season, all 17 weeks, was incredible. And then you pop on the tape and watch Pittsburgh at Kansas City and go, oh, this looks like an old-fashioned college game where one team's ranked second in the country and the other one has a losing record or something. So there are going to be a lot of changes because it was such a mismatch in the first game.
And look, both teams are healthier. I think that the Chiefs getting more back from what they didn't have in that game with Travis Kelce. And I know that every time I mention his name, an angel gets his wings. But Nick Bolton, this is the kind of game you want him in. You know, this is why they drafted Nick Bolton, a team that's going to come in here and try to be physical, going to try to run the football. It will be wonderful to see Nick Bolton have the kind of game he had against the Chargers on that Thursday, that big Thursday night win a few weeks ago. We will, and so put down your bingo card. It took me 31 minutes to mention Nick Bolton, which is, not bad for me. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot, if that's what you're doing. Thank you to all the people that stopped by Tequila Harry's yesterday for a very nice lunch remote. It was good to see some of our wonderful listeners, including Vicky, who was not very happy that Nate wasn't there and that Jake wasn't there. In fact, man, I had a bunch of people asking for Nate and Jake out there because usually you guys stop by at Tequila Harry's. They had a whole group of guys that back in the day went to Ward that were asking for you.
Oh, really?
Or somebody that they're more they were friends with your dad.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then there was that served on the police force with my Uncle Richie. And my son Richie was there, didn't get a chance. I say, hey, he's one of my Uncle Richie's good friends. I go, my son's named after my Uncle Richie. And then he told us some more great stories about my uncle on the force. And told my wife some of those stories. So that was a lot of fun. So thank you so much to
did your Richie match those stories?
You know, so my Uncle Richie, he passed away before the age of 40 because he battled ALS for 7 years. When someone asks me where I get my sense of humor, part of it's my dad, and the other part's my Uncle Richie. He's one of those guys where if you met him and you didn't know what he did, and you saw his demeanor and the way he acted, and then you go, "You're a police officer, really?" My Uncle Richie, when he walked into a room, you knew it, or you didn't have to be looking, you heard it. He could hold court, man. He could make everyone laugh. And it's fun to hear those stories now because I only remember things when I was a kid, but to hear those as an adult. And then I get a chance to have them tell my son stories about who he's named after. So it was a great day out at Tequila Harry's. Do we have a phone? I'm sorry, Stan, but we have to take one phone call of Vicky that came out there because she's had it with Jake not answering the phone. Jake, if you would.
You want to do this on the air?
I'm just saying.
That's great.
That's fine. She's different than everyone else because I've given her a free pass to call into the show sometimes.
Okay.
But she was very emotional yesterday, so I don't know. We may have to have the button ready, okay?
I got it. My fingers
on the
trigger.
Vicky, I told you I was going to let Jake, I was going to make Jake answer your phone call. So.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
You see, it is such a blessing to have you on the air every day.
Thank you. It's very good to see you.
You make the fans great. Wow. Because we love competitive sport.
That's right. I can agree. Nate,
some of
you agree
us
with that?
Yes. Are not competitive.
Yeah.
and we need to make some changes.
Right.
And I just had to say that you guys are doing a great job of covering a lot of the sports. But, of course, my passion is baseball and NCAA basketball.
See, Stan Weber's here. He calls NCAA basketball, so we've got that covered a little bit.
Well, a little bit. There's 200 conferences, sir.
Right.
Well. Okay? And I'm making my list for the Final Four.
Okay.
And I don't have coverage because I don't go online because... When I came out of my coma, I could not navigate the Internet.
Right. You told me that story yesterday.
So, I do the best that I can do to help others be better than themselves.
Right.
So that others can move forward with grace and ease. But there are some teams that are not moving at all.
Right.
And I would like to graciously... give an award to someone who is not being competitive, the worst competitive coach of the year.
What's that?
That I think, in my opinion, because the MU fans would like to have competitive sports and excitement and passion and winning series so that they might continue to be in the possible AP-25, may I say?
I think they're a little
bit... Big win over Alabama. Yeah,
they're not close to that, Vicky. I can tell you that. They're not close to the AP-25. No.
Big road win.
Well, not,
it's a ranked
not
team.
With what we have at the moment.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is a shame, and there's only one person to blame, and that is Quanzo Martin.
Right.
Now, Quanzo Martin... I have decided that he must go because he cannot put on a competitive show.
And that rhymes. That,
wow.
This is
good. You know it's true.
They
exactly
were in the tournament
right.
last year.
Well,
right.
Well, you're right.
So all the MU fans, we have a plan that will make the MU fans happy as can be because we want to change the situation immediately.
Okay.
So... To all the fans of MU, we support you because they need competitive sports
right.
to fill our hearts with passion.
Okay.
Because it is the sports world that is getting us through all this baloney that's going on around our world.
So what's the solution, Vicky?
And the solution is to properly change management hands to a quality team with a lot of zip and steam, okay? And his name is Tom English.
How about Kim English?
Tom, no, Tom's sorry. Better.
Tom English might be good, but Kim English.
No,
I think
Tom.
Might.
Kim English.
Right.
No, Tom.
That's right.
I said
point.
His name wrong. Kim
no,
English.
Hey, the point's well made. I got it.
Mr. English.
He has a, he, we need power and a lot of steam to get to where we need to be.
Thank you.
We can be, and so we can all be proud of the MU team again and have passion and love. So Tim English put him in there today. So we can have a chance to win every day.
Well, thank you so much, Vicky. It was very nice to see you yesterday. We appreciate you coming. She sat and had lunch with us yesterday. And,
I'm sorry, I missed that.
But I'm just going to be honest with you. To be honest with you, Vicky was wearing a Kansas hat and a Kansas sweatshirt, so I'm not sure how concerned you are about Mizzou's happiness. But that's fine. Thank you.
She can support you guys.
But thank you, Vicky. Thank you very much, and we look forward to hearing from you again very soon, all right? Thank you.
AP25.
There you thank you. So
she's ready for the Border Patrol.
Wonderful
like.
Rhyme scheme.
I could tell you this, you know.
Focused on Mizzou, wearing KU.
Well, she was wearing KU, and then so that when, if you're a coach, when Vicky's calling for your job, then you, I don't know if you could bounce back from that. So,
so I figured a KU fan would want Konzo to keep his job right now.
We're going to restart the show now when we come back, and Stan Weber will be right back. And Stan, I don't know. Stan doesn't know what to say. I don't know. No one really knows what to say, but Vicky took care of the, she took the show over. All right, so we'll take a break. Well, I know you want to say, you better not say nothing.
Well, you know, I'm bummed out that I missed out on all the Ward guys yesterday. I know Mr. Knatzer and my dad.
Oh,
go
yeah,
way
wild.
Back,
it was a wild atmosphere out there, as you could tell. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. Jake, why did you close phone lines again? I don't
know.
Phone
lines
are now
closed.
Well,
he's placing a call to Tom English.
For the rest of the year.
You know who she meant.
Try back in 2023.
You know who she meant. Okay. Damn it.
In Arc City, Kansas, I knew a Tom English.
Yeah. Well, he might be better for Mizzou, right?
Well,
if you can
get him on the phone maybe and see if he's available.
I don't know if he had much of a background in college basketball, but.
Stan Weber joins us. Stan, we'll spend the rest of the 7 o'clock hour pretty much talking about the Chiefs. Let me get your picks. Some quick thoughts about the rest of the playoff weekend. All the games right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stan, 3:30. Raiders coming off that unbelievable victory over the Chargers. The Raiders take on the Bengals. So weird. Doesn't feel like it. They have the same record. Both 10-7. What about the Raiders and the Bengals, 3:30 tomorrow afternoon?
Well, I think when you look at the playoffs, the AFC, Iowa's one has said, all seven teams are so competitive. And, you know, the seventh seed and the third seed, maybe the second seed, maybe the first seed are all about the same. It's going to be so competitive. And then we get to the playoffs and we go, oh, not true. You know, the Colts and Chargers didn't make it. There are two teams that really aren't playoff worthy, that shouldn't be in the playoffs. One is the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the second are the Raiders. But the inconsistency of the Cincinnati Bengals, the inexperience of quarterback, coach, organization, not a lot of history winning games, and this group of players have never been in a playoff game. So what I'm saying is Cincinnati's better, but they're more explosively better. Not down after down. Are they consistent? You don't know if you're going to get that. And I think the Raiders are playing with a confidence level of what the heck. And starting to believe in each other. They've had so much adversity that you think that tears them apart. But at some point, just like when you have an injury, doesn't it start to heal? I think the Raiders are on the healing side. So I expect a competitive game. Obviously, you play this thing 100 times, the Bengals are the better team. But I think it's a dangerous game. Should be close.
Carr has impressed me. This is his first start in the playoffs. One note, Raiders 5-3 on the road. Bengals only 5-4 at home, so that make note of that.
And his tight ends are getting healthier and healthier. And as you pointed out, Renfro is becoming a legitimate threat. But Waller is the guy that on 3rd-and-7 on a cold day in Cincinnati, and you're the quarterback. I'm telling you what you're thinking, like, oh, man, the ball doesn't feel great in my hands. I don't want to punt. I hope I can throw a good pass. And then it's awesome to say, well, I'm going to throw it high to Waller. It may not work. And then you've seen plenty of playoff games where the guy reaches up, yanks, gets rolled up, and holds on the ball, and you go, first down. So the Raiders have some answers.
Okay, night game, 7:15 tomorrow night. Can the Patriots find a way to beat the Bills again?
You always have to say with Bill Belichick, and it's a division foe that they're not intimidated by. Buffalo's the better team. It is their third year of being a good team. It wasn't at 18 that they got in and had the greatest celebration ever because they were watching another team win a ball game. And it's one that for the ages, right, when they're all celebrating in the locker room, can't believe the Bills are going to the playoffs. But now they're used to being a good football team. I think that the Buffalo Bills can find a way to win this game. But always, if you're messing around with a division foe, you know what I say all the time, guys, division games are always closer. You know each other so much better. And if Belichick's coaching, you know, can Mac Jones put it together? If he plays his best game, New England will win. He's kind of leaking oil right now. He's not playing as well as he did 6-7 weeks ago, and it's hard for rookie quarterbacks to be successful.
All right, the Eagles at Buccaneers, that feels like that's going to be a mismatch, although the Eagles can run the football effectively. Can the Eagles do anything with the Bucs?
Well, because they have a philosophy that gives you a chance running the ball, can they bleed the clock, keep the ball away from Tom Brady? There's a chance. I mean, normally when you talk about playoff games, don't they end up being closer than they should? How many times have 7-9 losing record teams made the playoffs? Is it 4 times? 5 times? I think, let's just say 4 for simplicity. I think the record of those teams is 3-1. So the Eagles kind of are playing that role. They don't have a losing record, but they seem like such a distant team from Tampa Bay. But I will say this, it is Tampa Bay is one of the better run defenses in the NFL. So to just lean on, oh, hey, they're going to make plays on third down and run the ball and keep the ball, that's a hard story for the Eagles to execute against Tampa Bay. So I think the Bucs will win.
Hurts, Jalen Hurts, you know, only threw 16 touchdown passes, 9 picks, only threw for 3,100 yards, but had 784 yards rushing and 10 rushing touchdowns. Is he better than you thought he'd be in the NFL, worse, or is this what
better.
You expected?
Better? Oh, way better. I mean, when he got replaced at Alabama, I wasn't jumping up and down and saying, how could you possibly move on to Tua? You know, he was a winner, right? I mean, he fought and he won, but who had the best talent on the field? Every time, him, he had the best talent in Alabama, right? Good kid, tried hard, but I didn't think he could throw the ball at the NFL level. And then he went to Oklahoma, and he did some things, but he was still a step back from Kyler Murray and where they had been with the Heisman Trophy quarterbacks. So to see him get replaced at Alabama, do okay at Oklahoma, but not completely dominant, and then turn out to be a starting NFL quarterback, he's a real surprise.
We'll get Stan's thoughts on the other playoff matchups and dig deeper into Steelers-Chiefs after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Reminder, there will be a hot and fresh episode of Hot Mic with SSJ available later on today, featuring Jake Gutierrez in his return to the podcast. As he will explain several things.
Careful what you ask for.
Several things today, including...
You asked for this.
Two of the topics. Why the Titanic never actually sank.
Correct.
And how the Paul McCartney that we know and love is not the real Paul McCartney.
The real Paul McCartney died in 1969.
Well, there it is. And there's the preview.
Car accident.
Stan is extremely confused. Stan, you're not alone. And so
you know how this world goes around, though, right, Stan?
Right.
Money.
There it is.
Everything's about money.
There it is, Stan. It's that
money is a social construct.
It's the construct that runs this world currently.
May be excited to listen to that. Some people may avoid it, but either way, it'll be available on YouTube later, and you can download it wherever you download your favorite podcast. And Todd Lebo hopefully will be making a special appearance as he's waiting for. An HVAC appointment in his home right now, so we'll see if he
shows up.
That's right, he's got a lot of things going on. Stan, I did not get a chance to ask you about 49ers and Cowboys, and I watched you watching the monitor. They're showing a game from 1994 between the 49ers and Cowboys, and you looked like you were about ready to take a snap, and so I stood back and let you watch that. And so now we have the 49ers coming off that comeback victory against the Rams to play their way into the postseason. And the Cowboys, Jerry Jones has said Super Bowl or bust for this team. Those are his expectations. And I've seen a lot of people, if they're looking for a sexy upset pick, going with the 49ers. What do you think of this matchup for your Dallas Cowboys taking on the San Francisco 49ers, a wonderful traditional postseason matchup?
Well, this weekend has turned into my favorite weekend of football and of sports, because with 7 teams in each conference, 14 teams making the playoffs, I love the extra games. Okay, we have one on Monday night this year, whenever it is. I love the fact we have 3 games on Sunday. So this is awesome football, and the best game of the weekend is the 49ers versus the Dallas Cowboys.
Uh-huh.
These two teams are both worthy of making a run to the Super Bowl. There are some teams in the playoffs that you could say are dangerous, could win a game. You know, maybe we can go with 2, but when we really talk about teams that can go all the way to the Super Bowl and even win a Super Bowl, I do think the Dallas Cowboys and the 49ers fit that bill. I think San Francisco in the last part of the season has turned into the 2019 version. You can go back and watch the tape. Even Jake will go back and watch the tape of the Super Bowl.
See?
Chiefs versus the 49ers. And think about all the players that made a difference for the Niners, that made them good that year, and a legitimate foe who were better than the Chiefs through 3 quarters, basically, right? Now look at this version and see who they're counting on to make plays and win games. Same crew. So a lot of times you go back through NFL history, teams have that year, then they take a step back and people want to write them off, but they still have a championship DNA about them. They're used to being able to play at a high level, and then they bounce back the next year. Even the Pittsburgh Steelers, remember when they dominated in the 70s? They won 2 Super Bowls. Didn't win for a couple years, and then they bounce back. Here they come. The same thing happened with Tom Landry's Dallas Cowboys, etc. It's over and over. You've seen it. This Niners team, I believe, is playing at a very high level and is better today than the other two teams in our division. They're the third in their own division. What a tough division it is, the one the Chiefs are going to have to play next year, notable, as the schedule comes out, right? But you think about the Rams and the Cardinals, they're 1-2 in that division. I think the 49ers are the better team. So here's how I would break this game down. Dallas, if they play their best game, if Dallas plays their best game and does all the things that they are capable of doing, they would win the Super Bowl against anybody. If this were Super Bowl Sunday, they will beat whoever they play against if they played their best. But the chances of the Cowboys playing their best, especially at this time of year, are very, very slim. A completely inconsistent team, a lot of holes. Their defense isn't very good. They count on turnovers. But, man, when they get turnovers, it's unbelievable what they can do. If they know you're going to pass, their pass rush is really awesome. But the Niners team attacks you with a running game, a physicality, and they actually are more mentally prepared to play in this game. So game, you know, put the game on Dallas's court first. If Dak Prescott plays well, the receivers don't drop balls, they convert some third downs. If Pollard's healthy running the ball and they score touchdowns in the red zone, those type of things, Cowboys will win. The Cowboys are better than the Niners if they play their best. But if they don't, the Niners are more consistent, more reliable, and a dangerous team to make it to the Super Bowl.
And I could tell you one of my favorite players to watch in the NFL and somebody that I gained a tremendous amount of respect for when he was at South Carolina. And my choice for the NFL's breakout player of the year is Deebo Samuel. And for people that haven't...
He's unbelievable.
If you got him in fantasy, you know. But if you haven't sat down to watch too much of the 49ers this year, he had 77 catches for 1,405 yards. That's over 18 yards a catch, which led the league. 59 carries for 365 yards. And so he caught 6 touchdowns and ran 8 touchdowns. He's 6'2", 215. He's physical. He's got explosiveness.
He can run running back plays. That's what's crazy.
Right. He lines up as a true running back. He's incredible. And he's a wild card. There's really just not too many people like him anywhere in football. And that's a matchup nightmare. I'm very excited to see because Dan Quinn is getting all this love, is one of, if not the top coaching candidates. He's going to get one of these jobs if he wants it. And I can't wait. I like those, you know, the football geek time. Can't wait to see what Dan Quinn and that defense tries to do with Deebo Samuel because he is an absolute game changer.
Right. And Micah Parsons is the best defensive player in the NFL this year. So
terrific.
That has to be the answer. I mean, he's got to be. If he doesn't make the tackle, because I've watched enough Dallas games, if he doesn't make the tackle, then Deebo Samuel is going to gain 7 yards on that play. I mean, there's going to be one guy who runs him down, hits him, and knocks him down. The other guys are going to grab on for the ride and pull him down, and you know, Leighton Van Der Esch will be able to get counted for a tackle as he drags the guy 3 yards further, and he makes a hard hit from the side at the 8 yard position. I mean, he never tackles anybody at the line of scrimmage. Okay, but next to him, Micah Parsons, that guy. The comparisons are Lawrence Taylor. People have said Lawrence Taylor, you know, because what he did as a rookie, he's the last rookie to win Rookie of the Year on the defensive side, and also. Be the defensive player of the year in the NFL, right? But Micah Parsons deserves to be near the same sentence. It's scary for me to say.
He can line up anywhere, kind of like Deebo Samuel on offense. Like where you can.
Yeah, he's done a fantastic job. He has been. DeMarcus Lawrence didn't play at the beginning, the first half of the year. He was the best Dallas defender going into the season. The highest paid guy, really rushes the passer well, tries hard, will work against the run. So, you know, Dallas has got to find a way to slow down the running game, but they got to win the game on offense because if the Cowboys' offense gets going, it is hard to stop. They have all the weapons in the world. You win with the passing game. The Cowboys' passing game's really elite, and then you also need some running. Pollard can do that if he's healthy. But like Tyreek Hill, Pollard and Hill are two giant variables of great players who can make a difference in playoff games who we don't know what their health is. Both of them aren't like injured with a ACL and out, or you know, a hamstring that probably isn't going to last the game. They have injuries we can't see. You know, how bad is Tyreek Hill's heel?
Limited participant yesterday in practice.
You know, but how's he going to play?
Right.
And Tony Pollard's the same way at the Cowboys. They need him because Ezekiel Elliott. I told you guys. Everyone wants to say Pollard's better. Well, yeah, he's better on a certain down. But what did I tell you guys? when you have to get and play every down and take the hits and come back and everyone's focused in on you, that's greatness. Pollard is only great because he doesn't have to be counted on down by down. Guess what? He's hurt. Couldn't he make it through a whole season when he gets a third of the plays? Zeke plays two-thirds of the game. Pollard comes in when everyone's worn down, or he hits the fancy plays, and he still can't stay healthy. That's why Zeke Elliott is such a great player, because he's out there every down. But Pollard is needed for Dallas to be their best. This game is really the best game of the weekend.
Cowboys advance?
I'm going to say yes.
This man
because,
has...
Because, here's why. Because if everyone were patting Dallas on the back and say, here's what normally happens. Wow, did you see him take care of the Eagles? 50 points on the road. First time ever the Cowboys have scored 50 points on the road. They're hitting on all cylinders, playing their guys. And this Dallas team, I mean, they can make a run to the Super Bowl. Poop, they're going to lose. But this week, perfect. Who's everyone talking about? Niners. No one's saying...
Sexy pick.
Few people are saying Dallas is going to win. I like that. Dallas is a very fragile team. The psychology of the team is big. You just mentioned Jerry Jones gets quoted all the time. The owner is the coach. Okay, the owner is the general manager. He is everything. So they are so fragile that when you tell them they're good, they lose their intensity. This will help that everyone's questioning them. So I'm going to say yes, because they've been questioned this week, that Dak Prescott will step up and beat the Niners.
Stan's got Cowboys and Chiefs in the playoffs back-to-back. You need some smelling salts or something, Stan. This is going to be wild for you.
It's going to be so much fun.
And then before we stick with the Steelers and Chiefs, Cardinals or Rams on Monday?
Boy, that's a toss-up game, and I don't really like division games normally. I'm always a little saddened if you have a division game in the playoffs or a game that was played the last week of the regular season. Those are the two kind of bummers for me. So I'm not real happy to see New England play Buffalo or this game here. But you know what? I don't mind it so much because these two teams kind of deserve, you know, what I call the loser's bracket, like in a tournament. You got to come back up with the big boys. The winner of this game deserves to step back in, but neither of these teams are playing at a high level. They've both been disappointing. You know, the Rams are putting together a dream team type of mentality, and it's not sticking together. The glue's not tight. Odell Beckham Jr., guess what's happened since he's come to the Rams? Uh-oh. Stafford's not playing as well. Does that remind you of what happened with Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns? But Cooper Kupp's awesome. The Rams, if they put it all together, I just said Dallas, if they play their best game, is the best team in the NFL. Some people may argue, hey, what about the Rams? But I haven't seen them put it all together. Stafford, is he the Detroit quarterback that's just kind of a lovable loser, or is he going to step it up this week? And Cliff Kingsbury, this looks like Texas Tech playing. You know, the Texas Tech Cardinals are playing the Rams. Either team can win. I mean, they're very even. They're very explosive. At their best, both teams are really good. The Cardinals play good defense, man. And I like Kyler Murray. I really do. And if he can run for a first down any time in a ball game and change it. So I'm excited to watch this game much more than I thought I would be, because their division foes usually takes a little bit of the luster away from me. But I don't know who's going to win, because it's going to be not who wins the game, who loses the game. One of these teams is going to give the other team the game and say, we don't deserve to be here, because they both are screaming that they aren't good enough.
Stafford's going to throw a back-breaking interception in the fourth quarter. To help.
Is Aaron Donald going to catch it?
Maybe.
Is he going to be flipping over backwards, like over his back of his head? And
so
wouldn't put it past him.
Let's move on to the Chiefs here. The injury report, as we mentioned earlier, did not practice for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So step back as he tries to bounce back from his shoulder injury. And so that's not good news if you're hoping that Clyde plays on Sunday night. Did not practice. Darrell Williams, limited participant with his toe injury. And Tyreek Hill, as you mentioned, limited participant with his heel injury. Orlando Brown, Willie Gay, Travis Kelce, Tyrann Mathieu, Legarius Sneed, Andrew Wiley, all full participants. Kelce was listed as a hip issue, but full participant, so good to go. Let's start with the running backs, guys. Clyde Edwards-Helaire did not practice. That's not looking good. Darrell Williams, limited participant with the toe. We didn't see him in the second half of the Broncos game. We don't know how he's going to respond, but Jerick McKinnon looked very good, and they have Derek Gore as well, so that at least is a position of depth. What about the Chiefs' group of running backs on Sunday night, Stan?
Not something, not a group that scares you at all if you're the opponent, but that's not what the Chiefs are about. You know, it's about play calling with Kansas City. when they run the ball, this group of linemen, especially the interior guys, love to get off the ball, hit people. But mostly, it's just that everyone's so focused on what the pass play, what kind of wild screen play there is. Mecole Hardman down the line, did I tell you guys he would play this year? I think I said that about 3 weeks ago. He's still going to be okay. You know, how scared are you that they just throw the ball down the line to him and he slips through your cornerback and your safety and suddenly he's got 50 yards, snap of the fingers? I mean, once he breaks 5 yards downfield, suddenly he's like Tyreek Hill. It's hard for him to get that first five, but man, he's dangerous with his speed.
My Mecole Hardman confidence level is the highest point it's been this year. Nate Buchanan, do you share it? Enthusiasm, anything more?
I don't think. Maybe a little bit higher. A little bit higher.
Jake, increase? Feel better?
But
I feel better after last week.
Yeah.
He's playing with confidence.
Respect to him, because after you lost playing time, we talked about this, he's bounced back. He's done everything they've asked him to do. He needed to step in an important game last week, had his first 100-yard game. I think he's played with more confidence, and maybe it's helped him not having to deal with special teams as much, too.
Well, about the psychological play that I thought the Chiefs were making. Remember, they kind of punched him in the mouth finally.
Right.
And did he play, 17 plays one game or something?
His snaps were all the way down.
And I told you that's the best thing ever. For them to say to him, it's going to be a great investment to just say, quit thinking yourself as the next Sammy Watkins. You're not here to be Sammy Watkins. You're never going to be that good. You know, we don't even need you. And once he learned to humble himself, then he could explode back and be a free-minded, dangerous weapon once in a while. Okay?
Yeah.
And I think it's worked perfect. This is what Andy Reid and the Chiefs do behind the scenes so well. Plant the seeds in week three that flourish at the end of the year. Does that make sense? This is one of them that I think is true. But back to this, the running game for the Chiefs. If you're a safety, a linebacker, or the defensive coordinator, you are so distracted worrying about what the Chiefs are going to bring. As simple as Travis Kelce can run a 7-yard route, turn in or out, and he's probably going to be open. Boy, someone better guard that. Do we need to squeeze it, bracket it? Then that throw down the line. Then Tyreek Hill doing all the things he does. The motions and shifts. Everything Patrick Mahomes may bring, throwing the football. You're so distracted that when the Chiefs run the ball, and the middle of that offensive line comes off the ball, Chiefs have 5 to 7 yards before you even know what happens. Because that's so de-emphasized. If you're a linebacker, think about this. Are you on your toes getting ready for Christian Okoye like the old days? You know, back then, linebacker, go ask Tim Grunhart what it was like. Yeah. The linebackers were on their toes because as soon as that ball moved, I mean, just a millimeter, they attacked the line of scrimmage because it was a war.
Yeah,
That's the last thing the linebacker's doing now. He's inching back 3 inches, 6 inches. He's lining up deeper than he should. He's on his heels, ready to run side to side, and all of a sudden, here comes whoever the Chiefs running back is. I don't think it really matters very much. Boom, they get hit, and you tackle the Chiefs running back. You go, darn, they gained 7 yards. How many times have you seen that this year?
A lot.
These aren't breaking ankles at the line of scrimmage. They're not having to deal with linebackers. The Chiefs running backs aren't having to deal with linebackers coming up square at the line of scrimmage and go, can you beat me? No. It's over. I mean, the Chiefs just, when they run the ball, it's so surprising to the defender's emphasis that I don't really care who the running back is. And you saw it with McKinnon. Didn't he look great?
Absolutely.
He looked like the Chiefs' best running back for a few plays. My Pollard statement, though. Don't bet on any guy down after down. But the Chiefs don't have to do that.
He's not an every down guy anyway, but he's a good receiver out of the backfield. You saw him make two guys miss and get into the end zone. What I liked about him as well that's underrated, you see him when he gets tackled, he gets another yard or two. He's a strong running back for his size, and he was one of the highlight guys we would watch up in training camp. And you're right, he's battled a number of injuries over his career, but in spots like that, get him in space, he could be very effective. And I feel the same way about Gore.
And what does Gore do? When he gets a ball, he does the smartest thing in sports, college or pro level. Go as fast as you can forward.
Yep.
I mean, don't think you're going to juke these NFL guys out, okay? Yeah. He doesn't overcomplicate the game.
He's the anti-DeMarcus Robinson.
He's maximized his touches.
Yeah.
But when he gets a ball, he just zips forward as fast as he can, and he hardly ever loses any yardage, but he oftentimes, that's a 10-yard gain. What did he do? He didn't juke at all. He just sprinted as fast as he could, protected the football, and you go, good play.
And that's one of the drawbacks from Clyde. When he's healthy, He's a very good, solid running back, but his lack of explosive plays. He doesn't ever run over 20 yards this year.
And he just dances a little bit more than Gore.
It's not good. Again, but Gore has a catch and a run, both of over 50 yards.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, it's okay to say he's different and he should be the starting running back. Because go back to my statement about Zeke Elliott. Being there down after down, picking up the blitzes, catching the ball, being physical, that is a big responsibility, okay? And Gore could not do that. Who was the guy you loved in preseason? I told you 2 or 3 years ago.
Thompson, right? The kid from Utah State.
Yeah, he's like Gore.
Come on, say his name.
He could play, a down here or down there, but he's just not
come
in the same
on.
League.
Wasn't his last name Thompson?
This is a brain teaser, an exercise for you to work on your memory.
Bad radio, because people are going to be listening
radio,
to me wondering
because people are screaming.
And
think it, you don't have to answer now. It'll come to you. It'll pop in your head. You're trying too hard right now. But the point is a good one.
Running back by committee is just fine for the Chiefs.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. They only have to win 4 more games to be a Super Bowl champion. So if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a part of this week or next week or whenever, great. But he's not that much of a difference maker. Like you said, he doesn't get 20-yard runs, right? So Gore's more likely to bust through before the safety realizes what happens and get, he has one long touchdown run this year. So I think the Chiefs are going to be fine with Clyde Edwards-Helaire or without. That's not where the Chiefs win football games.
So when you asked me if I had more confidence in Mecole Hardman, and I said a little bit, it probably sounds like that means I don't have confidence in him. And that's not true. I haven't changed the way I look at what he is as a player, which is a valuable player and a helpful player to the team. I still think I look at the offense like this to build off what you're saying, Stan. One of the beautiful things about Andy Reid's offense, and I think we saw this really come from the college game, and those of us that watched the Big 12 and Mike Leach's offense and all that over time, you have to defend every blade of grass on the field. From sideline to sideline and from your line of scrimmage all the way to the end zone, you have to account for it all. And the Chiefs make you account for that because they fill the field with speed, right? There's guys that can run all over the place, and then they run you side to side before they ever even snap the ball. And they don't just jog in motion, they sprint in motion, and sometimes they sprint in motion all the way across the field and then loop all the way back around. And every defender has to worry about all of that. And then when the guys are so fast, like Hill and Hardman, you have to worry about them getting behind you as well. And so to me, I look at it, Brett Veach has done a great job knowing that that's kind of part of the philosophy of the offense of going out and getting the Gores of the world that are pretty fast, or McKinnons of the world. He's not an every down back, but if you put the ball in his hands, and because the great thing about that is what you usually end up getting is one-on-one matchups and guys touching the ball in space, and they can then use that speed to hurt the other team. And most of the time, when the offense is clicking, it's a scheme thing. Get the ball to Mecole Hardman where we have the schematic advantage, and then his speed does the rest.
But it's different if Hill's compromised.
That's right.
They had to lean on him because he wasn't really available in that Broncos game. And if he is compromised on Sunday night, Hardman's role becomes even bigger and more important.
That's true. And hey, and last time against the Steelers,
and then your confidence level ought to start going down because he's a supporting actor only.
Right, a supporting actor, that's a great way to put it, because to me, scheme gets a lot of offense up for the Chiefs. And then Patrick Mahomes' improvisational ability gets a lot of offense where the play's not there, the scheme didn't work the way we wanted, but then I can scramble around until somebody comes open and hit him. But then sometimes that doesn't work either, and that's when you need the Tyreek Hills and the Travis Kelce's of the world, because they can win their matchup even if the scheme doesn't, get them open. They're at that next level where it's like, in basketball, it's like, that guy's guarded, it doesn't matter, get it to him and let him create his own shot because he's special. And those are the two guys. I don't think of Hardman in that way yet. And I don't assume that I ever will, that it's just like, you know what? It doesn't matter what the other team's doing, they can't stop this guy. I don't feel that about him. I feel like it's like, get him the ball in the right positions, and he is a weapon. And I don't feel like that's a put-down. That's a helpful player. That's a guy that helps you win playoff games even. And we've seen him, even in the Bills game last year, the AFC Championship game, to me that was the quintessential Mecole Hardman game. He makes a terrible mistake in the game that could have cost, that did cost him big time by fumbling that punt. But then he also made a few big plays. Those big plays didn't involve him beating a double team and running some precise route. They involved throwing it down the line to him and letting him take off, or a jet sweep, and he had big plays in that game. And I think he could do that same thing in the playoffs this year, and I hope he does. I think he will.
How concerned are you about this heel situation with Tyreek Hill? Limited participant. They might just be saving him and limiting his reps in practice to try to get him right for Sunday night. But, I mean, he was limping around the field on last Saturday against the Broncos. And that, look, and if he can't go and he can't, and he's not 100%, of course that's a factor.
Yeah, because I just think the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL because Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. If you take out Hill or Kelce, the other teams just rush up into the same range, that they have answers and are just as good. But those four weapons are the reason why the Chiefs, if they play like they should, are just as likely to win the Super Bowl as anybody. They should be in their fourth AFC championship game, the third straight Super Bowl, which just doesn't happen that often. But it does take Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill being able to play at a high level. And if he... I'm not so worried about this week because the chances of the Steelers winning the game are so minimal. But throughout the playoffs, this equation is very, very important. So, yeah, I am concerned about his heel healing maybe before the next week. They could win without him this week. No problem. But he is not going to stand on the sideline. He's going to push it. So if it's a nagging injury, he's going to put stress on it. He does not want to sit on the sideline and say, "We got this. We'll beat the Steelers without you. We'll wait till next week." He didn't even want to miss any of the plays against Denver, right?
Yeah.
And they almost had to box him up in a cartridge over there and say, "You can't go out there." And he still snuck out there. And what's amazing is when the play starts, he runs like crazy, and then he starts limping. But he still limped. So, yeah, it's scary.
We have Stan Weber in studio back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jake, you want to play Steelers wide receiver Deontay Johnson again, telling Steelers fans and everyone else, don't worry about getting back on the bandwagon or getting on the bandwagon after they beat the Chiefs. Now, he was asked about what it feels like and, you know, to be in this role of an underdog. But then he kind of went there on his own and talked about the Steelers winning. Here was Steelers wide receiver Deontay Johnson yesterday speaking to the Pittsburgh media.
Big underdog this game?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because, like I said, people expecting us to go out there and have another, how can I say it? Tough loss like that. So that's what they expect. They don't expect us to come back with a better plan, you know. So I like being in this situation because once we win, don't try to hop back on the bandwagon, you know, because remember all that stuff you're saying now. So I'm not, you know, I'm just going to leave it at that.
He said, once they win, don't worry about getting back on the bandwagon. And he's going to remember all the stuff that was said and leave it at that. And so Deontay Johnson feeling very confident about the Steelers' chances to rebound from that 36-10 loss that they had in Week 16 as they come back to Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday night. So what is the formula? Obviously, when the first thing you bring up is when you think about the Steelers sitting in this game, the Chiefs turning the football over. That's been the issue when they've lost this year. The biggest issue is not taking care of the football. If they lose the turnover battle by two or three, then of course that increases Pittsburgh's chances of pulling the upset. But what has to happen for Pittsburgh if they're going to be competitive and have a chance to win this game?
Well, turnovers, T.J. Watt, you know, he could create punts with third down sacks. He would be the one who might get a strip sack, cause a fumble. He's obviously a superstar player that you've got to watch out for. So he gives a variable to Pittsburgh. Again, I think the Chiefs have a 90% chance of winning this game. This is the best opponent you could ever have for the Chiefs in the playoffs. This is great the way it's played out. But we're talking about, the question is, you know, what could the Steelers do? First of all, organizationally, Mike Tomlin, it's not too big for them. Ben Roethlisberger could protect the ball. during the game. I think one of the things that can make the Steelers dangerous is the fact that their passing game is so poor about threatening you downfield. They throw the ball so short, and it's such a controlled passing game that they can actually be indifferent if they run or pass. What they ought to do is do exactly what the opposite of what the Chiefs expect. When the Chiefs bring out their defense, if they're playing the pass, even if it's third and seven, the Steelers ought to run. If if they're going to run, have a run defense philosophy, a focus on stopping Najee Harris, you need to throw the ball. They should become completely indifferent. How they manage this game is going to be very critical. When it becomes fourth down, are they going to be able to find those times to not be stupid about going for fourth down, but make a two or three fourth down conversion 100% day to keep some drives alive? Keep the ball away from the Chiefs. Keep moving down the field. Now, here's what I think when you make adjustments. I think the adjustments that the Steelers might make is this. Their passing game is such trash. Throw the ball down the line, not 6-yard hitches, 3-yard hitches. You know what I'm saying? The ball hardly touches Roethlisberger's hands before he gets rid of it, right? Mm-hmm. It is just no threat. Now, back up a little bit. A theme that the Chiefs are going to have to deal with in the playoffs is they play a very physical style on the outside. They play man-to-man, and they do it pretty well. But in the NFL, there are ticky-tack calls, random calls, and wrong calls all the time for illegal contact, holding, or pass interference. Jake does not want to go back and watch the Super Bowl second quarter against Tampa Bay, but was a flag fest, right, Steven?
Yes.
You remember. It affected the ball game.
I don't want to, but I do.
Think about the Bengals game. Some flags that came out. Mm-hmm. So let's focus on the Bengals game. Two things that the Bengals did that every team ought to do against the Chiefs, and if you have little chance of winning, you really ought to emphasize. And this is what I want you to watch the Steelers possibly do. The Steelers' passing game is no threat. But why wouldn't you, if you know you got man-to-man on the outside, why wouldn't you treat many passing plays like it's a fade in the end zone, where Ben can catch the ball, don't think about a 50-yard throw, think about a 25-yard throw. So as soon as he gets it, he gets rid of the ball early, but why wouldn't he lay it up near the sideline, one-on-one with his receiver, to see if he can make a play? If you get a 20- or 30-yard gain for the Steelers, that is like 7 or 8 plays for them normally. It takes them forever to drive down the field. I think the risk, if you want to create a Pittsburgh risk, is throwing the ball one-on-one to the outside and having them get some penalties or some catches, and that be their passing game. Otherwise, their passing game doesn't scare you. Najee Harris is going to have to run the ball well. They become a little indifferent, and they've got to score touchdowns in the red zone, which they're not very good at. Do you realize in 17 games, do you have any idea how many touchdowns the Steelers had this year?
How many?
34. One of them was a block punt. They had 33 offensive touchdowns in 17 games.
That doesn't sound very good by today's NFL.
And listen, the last four games of the year for Pittsburgh, to get in the playoffs, they won 4 out of 5. The only loss was to Kansas City. Roethlisberger, here is passing yardage numbers. 148, 159, 123, and then 244 aided by the overtime game, so he got some extra. He padded his stats there. And in those four games, three of them were wins, 3 touchdown passes and 3 interceptions in 4 games. The Cleveland win, I still don't see how this is. 24 out of 46 for 123 yards.
No, it's unbelievable.
2.7 yards per attempt.
That's why I'm looking at the Chiefs defense, and the Steelers ought to just say, we don't have any chance of being successful in the passing game unless let's just throw it to the outside and go for one-on-one opportunities out there. You know what you're going to get with the Chiefs. And in the red zone, I think the Kansas City Chiefs have turned into the last 5 or 6 games the best goal line, fourth down, tough situation defense that I can remember in the last 10 years. It's the elite part of the Chiefs that we haven't talked about enough. Go back and talk about Cincinnati game. Everyone wants to talk about game management. I want to talk about, do you see how hard it was for them to get into the end zone?
Yeah.
This is the NFL. I mean, two-point conversions are from the two-yard line in the NFL, and there basically should be a 50-50 proposition. That's what the odds say throughout time. Close enough, right? Against the Chiefs, do you think when someone's snapping the ball from the two that they're going to get in? Think about the Charger game. Think about the Bengal game. Think about Denver when they blew up that play. That was like a goal line play. They busted through, created a fumble, scooped it. Bolton goes down and scores a touchdown. The Chiefs are rock solid inside the five-yard line like I cannot remember an NFL team. I don't buy into the Chiefs' defense being great. Never did. Not during the 5 weeks. Never. You can run the ball on them. They're okay. They're good. They're middle of the pack, slightly better. Okay. But at the goal line, unbelievable. If Pittsburgh can somehow find a way to score touchdowns, maybe they ought to try to strike from the 20 and not deal with the Chiefs in the 5. Pittsburgh's dangerous because they're the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's the playoff game. They can try to put things together, but I would throw the ball to the outside, go for some fourth downs, believe in the running game. They should run the ball as many times as they pass the ball. That's another Pittsburgh formula. And then on defense, they just have to have an effort that they really haven't had, guys. They've not been good stopping the run, but what happens if they did play out of their mind one game and force the Chiefs to punt the ball once in a while, didn't let them run the game? Maybe Tyreek Hill isn't fully available and they can keep it close. But, man, it is hard for Pittsburgh to score 20 points. Only half their games this year do they even get above 20 points this year. So you just play this game out a million times. My buddies and I, we played it last night.
Somebody just asked me if you have played this game out
on
your board game. So what happened?
75% of the time, Chiefs covered. There was one.
Hold on here. Now, he said that he is going to weigh very heavily the opinions of our football experts on whether or not he is going to go with the Chiefs cover. This is significant. 75% of the time they covered.
Yes, 75% they covered, but barely.
You'll be happy to know that I picked the Chiefs to cover in our Border Patrol picks
The literal average score, every game, average score, 28-14.
That's
what I picked for the Border Patrol.
You need to get off that wall and jump in with both feet. Stan Weber simulated this game and is telling you they're going to cover.
The worst number of points the Chiefs scored in any game, 23. The most points scored in any game by the Steelers, 20. They got to 20 half
the
time.
It's going
to
be like 28-17.
Stop it.
It could easily, yeah. If you throw out some aberrations, and this is what's scary, because my 28-14 is a literal average. But one time, the Steelers just couldn't do anything right, and they scored only 3 points. You cycle that out, and the Chiefs one time went almost to 40. Okay, really everything went right. There's only one close game, 23-20. Chiefs won 23-20. But if you said most probable adjustment, you'd have to say 27-17 is the most likely score, even though the Chiefs literally covered in 75% of them. But
that's what I'm talking about.
The 14-point games were incredible. We'd watch the Chiefs dominate, and the game would end, and you go, I don't know how they didn't win by 24, but the scoreboard says they won by 14. Is that the Chiefs didn't play great in any of our games. They just played. They just played their game. But I'm telling you, the Steelers, it was hard for them to get to 20 points. This is the most differential in a playoff game that I've seen, that I've studied in a long time. End result, Chiefs should win. 90% chance the Chiefs win.
Do you think they'll cover, Stan?
If the Chiefs lose, it'll be a disaster.
What's your official pick?
Yeah, do you think they'll cover? What do you believe in your heart?
I believe they'll cover it.
I wish you could get him to believe it.
Hey, I don't question whether the Chiefs are going to win this game.
That's not what I'm worried about. I want to see you aggressive. That gives me confidence. If I know that you're going in heavy on the cover.
Nope.
What about you? This guy picked 28. They both picked 28-14.
That's great. I'm picking 27-17.
I don't know what to do with them, Stan.
You don't have much of a choice right now.
Right. I know. That's why I don't know what to do.
What's really crazy is you start looking around the other games and you really need a root for things to happen. You and I talked about it off the air. But
hey, let's go Pats and Raiders!
You need some things to fall your way.
Yeah, the Raiders are growing on me a little bit here.
What does that mean? We'll take some penicillin and clear it
up. Raiders on the road and Bengals at home?
What do the Raiders do well on defense? Rush the quarterback.
Yeah.
And the Bengals don't protect the quarterback that well. I love Joe Burrow. I've been on him big time of being a legitimate pro. But he doesn't move in the pocket that well. Mm-hmm. He'll take the sacks. He's got a knee injury. He's not as adept at Tom Brady is at moving around that pocket. So sacking Cincinnati and forcing them to punt is a legitimate part of this of the game that could happen, and that's what the Raiders do. It's about the only thing the Raiders do great on defense is rush the quarterback.
I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. I'll say this. If he didn't play for the Raiders, I'd really like Derek Carr. I've been, like you talked about, keeping this team together. I credit him almost as much as, you know, they're talking about, you know, Rich Bisaccia now. Should he be the head coach after keeping this team together and guiding them to the playoffs?
Let's hope so, because it'd be like Frank Gantz.
Right, but I think more credit should
total
be given
credit
to Carr.
To go to Carr.
Yeah.
And I just like listening to him handle these things, none of which are easy to talk about in press conferences. All of a sudden, it seemed, I don't know when it happened, but now he has a real deep kind of, you know, he sounded a little bit like Elvis a little bit. He changed his voice. His brother, I interviewed at the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Now his brother's just belligerent. His brother is picking, picks his brother as an MVP.
I like that.
Like you know. They said they had him ranked the quarterbacks in the playoffs. He had him ranked third of all playoffs, which is ridiculous. But he said, you know what, screw it. It's my brother. Yeah. I'm going to keep picking him. I like Carr now. I don't like the Raiders, but I want the Raiders to eliminate the Bengals. I want the Patriots to eliminate the Bills. And I'd like to see the Raiders at the Chiefs for the divisional round of the playoffs.
And then New England upset Tennessee. And then the championship game is Chiefs at home against the New England Patriots.
That's talking, Nate.
That's real.
What could happen? I'm trying to speak it into existence.
And it should have been like the hardest run ever in the playoffs if you weren't the number one seed, because you should have had to play the Colts or the Chargers and Buffalo and go to Tennessee, and this may play out great. But Derek Carr has done the best job under stress of handling the media, social media, team, and all that stuff. I have to do this to get Nate's attention here so he's interested. You know, Bill Self has been the best at being able to step
now
up.
Now I'm paying attention. No, you got me.
Right, but Bill Self, when the heat's been on, computers, Bill Self's been able to step up and talk about some subjects for Kansas over the last 10 years, right? Carr, he handled himself perfectly. I mean, took it on the field. You know, when Ruggs had his problems, I mean, those are awful. And you know what he did? He did exactly what you should as a human being. That was awesome. I'm still going to stick by him. I'm going to visit him in jail. He's a human being. He needs love. I'm going to love him. And John Gruden, you can't be two-faced. You can't be all in with the coach, shoulder to shoulder, strategizing, talking in your ear, drawing up on the board, and then just because some texts come out or something, or emails, act like you hate the guy. He did exactly what he should. He said, hey, I love John Gruden. I stand by that, but I do not approve of the things he did. My kids are not going to do that. I do not talk that way. You can hate the sin, but you don't have to hate the person. You deserve second chances. This guy has been awesome this year under extreme heat. And for him to finally take a snap, he's never taken a snap in a playoff game.
Well said.
And he's going to kick it off.
I can't wait to watch that game. First game. I think the Raiders have a real shot there. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHP.